I want to talk to you guys tonight about something very, very deep, and then very, very personal, and then very practical. Deep, practical, and personal, okay? As some of you may know, I heard Dad speak 2 weeks ago about Purim, right? So you guys know Purim's coming up. It's this Saturday night and Sunday. So hands up if you know anything at all about Purim. Okay. Volunteers, please. Okay. What it likes a long speech, right? Tell me something about Purim.
You dress up.
Nice.
And
yes. Next. What else? What else? Maybe do we have any mitzvahs that we do on Purim? All right. Well,
you get hammered.
Yes. Yes. Within reason and for good reasons. Yeah. Next. Yeah. What else? Ooh, very good. Yes, we're going to talk about that. The Megillah, which is the Purim story. And at the end of the Purim story, something phenomenal is going to happen. Normally, you sit down and you have the Baal Kori, the reader. He's going to read the Megillah to you. And you're just going to kind of like focus and make sure you get every word. But in the 8th chapter of the Megillah, something different is going to happen. There's going to be a line that we say. Some of us will sing it also. And it says, Layahudim haita orev esimcha v'sasa v'ikar. What's that mean? For the Jews, there was light. For the Jews, there was light. What's that mean? What's the significance of it? How's that relevant to you right now as you're sitting in these chairs in the Graduate Student Lounge at Rutgers University, 2024? So first we need to understand, what is light? And where is it? There was light for the Jews. Great, but what's the light? Where is it? What's it matter? Let's deeply unpack this statement, because it sounds pretty simple, right? If you know the Purim story even a little bit, there was this guy Haman, and he was evil, and he was trying to eradicate us. Sounds like every story of our life, right? Trying to eradicate the Jews and annihilate us and destroy us. And during that dark, difficult time, something happened. Miracles, nahafachu, things were turned upside down, flipped around inside out, and bam, we're saved. Salvation. Wow, there was light. So it sounds like the casual phrase we say, which is basically, at the end of the tunnel, there is light. That's the simple way of understanding it, and that is true. But it's much deeper than that. The Torah itself tells us in the Talmud that the light is the Torah. Meaning, the guidebook for your life of how to live an uplifted, like meaningful existence was what they got. But not only that, I submit to you that it's not just at the end of the tunnel where you get the light. In the tunnel itself, there's light. It's not the light at the end of the tunnel. There's light in the tunnel. How do you look at that in a way that actually makes sense? There's anti-Semitism on campus right now. There's a war going on in Israel. There's a lot of difficulties that we face. There are stresses in our life. And when we go through those challenges, it does not seem like there is light in the middle of it. So what are we talking about? Where's the light, Bob? Not only that, but it goes deeper. That light that we have isn't exactly the same light that we're thinking of when we look at these Thomas Edison light bulbs or the sun, the moon, the stars. In order to understand what light is and where it might be for us in this difficult time right now and for our ancestors back then, because there's no such thing as just stories in the Torah, right? Everything is relevant to you now. And if you didn't find out that yet, you're going to find out soon and see that. What's going on? The big picture here is, let's take it back to where the first time light ever appeared in the Torah. The first time you ever see light in existence, creation story. Let there be light. And God said, let there be light. The first time you ever see light is day one. What happened on day four, though? That's when the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavenly bodies, everything that actually gives off light is created. So we should have a question. What's the light? Where is it coming from? I thought light was created on day one. You're telling me it's now not until I see sun, moon, stars on day four. So this light isn't the light that we're used to. The light that they had on Purim, the light that we're talking about right now, and the light that you all have, is not something that you can see. It's not physical. It's a spiritual light. It's a deep light. And the Torah also tells us in the Talmud, which is the oral law, which was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, in addition to the actual written law given down to us. In there it says, particularly, and Rashi comments on this, that there was a light that was so good. It was so good that it had to be hidden away. Because it would be abused by the people who didn't understand it, who didn't appreciate it, people who were evil. You should be even more confused right now. I thought light is not a thing that could be good or bad. So light had to be divided. Still day one. This spiritual light that is awesome had to be taken away from something else, some darkness, and hidden away. Where is it hidden away? Several answers to this question arise. And this is the intellectual deep stuff. We're going to get into something super practical very soon. That basically says that it was hidden away in the Torah. The Talmud tells us that it was hidden away in the Torah. One answer. What's that mean? Well, when you open up and learn Torah, when you open up and come out to a class to learn something, it expands your mind. It gives you a world-expanding vision of who you are. It gives you more clarity into the person you want to be. It helps you change your life. One answer. Second answer is that light's actually hidden away in the Hanukkah candles. That's what the Hasidic masters say. The Hanukkah candles. And the third answer is the one that my rabbi told me. And which is really the crux of what we're going to talk about tonight. And he said it over in the name of his rabbi, Rav Shlomo Volba, that the hidden light is in you. That hidden light is in you. And so what light are we even dealing with? What light are we even talking about? Well, colloquially speaking, we're talking about your potential. Your untapped potential. And even that still seems to be difficult to understand. And before we open up and expand what that all involves, I want to be a little vulnerable with you and tell you a dark time in my life where it didn't seem to feel so illuminated. You see, senior year of high school, my lungs collapsed and I almost died. Twice. The first time, it was around Passover time. It was Pesach. And I remember it like clockwork. I was eating breakfast with my parents, my mother and my father having a conversation, went up to go to the bathroom, and it felt like a bowling ball fell out of my chest. And I collapsed to the ground. And I couldn't breathe. We immediately went to the doctor, immediately then went to the emergency room, and I was told that my lung was 50% diminished. To anybody who knows anything, that's not normal. That's not normal. So what did they have to do? Long story short, I had to go through rounds of surgeries. Didn't seem very light or illuminated. Chest tube, 2 weeks. Other surgeries. Couldn't breathe, couldn't speak, couldn't really do much of anything. Lying in a hospital bed. When I got out, I thought everything was great. Everything was all good. Perfect. And then it happened again. But to the other lung. And the doctor said, basically, that it was overcompensating for the other lung. Why? Because this one couldn't breathe well, so this one had to bring in oxygen properly. And that one then collapsed too. So they finally repaired this lung just in time for this one to collapse. And then, when you first don't understand what's happening, it's kind of okay to be in the hospital, but the second time, you know exactly what they got to do. Whether you're awake or not. Under sedation or not. And there I am in the emergency room again. First time I kind of could handle, didn't really see a lot of light, but it was different. Second time was like, God, where are you? Where is the light in my life? What is going on? And so that was incredibly challenging and difficult for me. And I got out. And I eventually was healthy. It took a long time. But here I am today, speaking, which I couldn't do there, in front of all of you. And so we're going to hold on to that story, and I promise we're going to come back to it. It didn't seem to me like there was a lot of light at all. It didn't seem like there was a lot of good. It didn't seem like there was anything positive in the tunnel, let alone at the end of it. So, this light, we said, the deep spiritual stuff, the whole Kabbalistic everything, we said was essentially, in the beginning there was light, right? And that light was hidden away, and then that light became something inside of you that's spiritual, and I'm calling that your hidden potential. Show of hands. Have you ever heard the word potential before? Do you know what it means? Do you know what it means? Do you know what potential means? Like deeply, yeah.
I think everybody has a certain amount that, like, I guess it kind of caps what they're capable of doing in life. And potential is what, like, the spectrum of what you're able to accomplish in life.
Nice.
So reaching the highest potential is getting to the highest end of the spectrum of accomplishing, and I guess, you know, not achieving your highest potential would be being on the lower end of the spectrum of your accomplishments.
Beautiful. Who else? What do you think? Because if we don't have this definition figured out the rest of the whole night.
No, like, it's a hard word to define.
It's not easy.
You know, and like, I've known, like, it's just that word that you know for so many years, you've never thought, like, what does it actually mean?
100%.
If you ask me now right now, this made me go, like, wait a minute.
And not only that, you're getting a lot of pump-up speeches, right? This isn't Tony Robbins, right? This is the Torah in a certain sense that, like, hello, God gave you something called your potential. What is it? And supposedly, we're going to have to do something with it. And again, the whole reason we're bringing this up is because I submit to you that this light that was hidden away from Purim time to now is deeply in you, which is your potential. Nice. Trying to do our best. I like that very much in as many ways as we can. Anyone else before we go on?
How would you define
it? Oh, we're going to get there. That's the whole rest of the class. And then I'm going to have you take out your phones, hopefully not to text people, but to do an activity. Okay. So let's just hold there for a second. We said potential essentially is rising in a certain sense to get to a higher place, to grow, to actualize yourself. So then the one other thing that's very important is that sometimes when we talk about growing and becoming better, we get, like, really down because we're not perfect and God is. So how do we measure up? How do we even think about things in those terms? Well, first and foremost, we need to realize that it's not about, like, shunning the things I'm not good at and only building on that one awesome X factor that I have, right? So my rabbi, Rabbi Gershenfeld, He explained over in the name of Rav Chaim Shmuel Avetz of the Mir Yeshiva, humongous, great, beautiful rabbi of the last generation, the following idea. Imagine, this is going to be a mashal, it's called a parable and analogy. Imagine for a minute you're walking down the street and you see a person, normal sized legs, normal sized arms, normal sized torso, humongous head. Is that person a gadol? Is that person great? Is that person self-actualized? Is that person, let's be honest, a freak? That's a freak. That's weird. You're supposed to look normal. Okay. What about a tennis player who has an awesome arm, huge arm, worked out? But that's the only thing that's, like, there. He's huge there, but nowhere else. So what's the point of life? What's the point of our growth? It's to actualize every area of where you are, every aspect of who you are. If you're a brain, you can't just be studying all day. You have to focus on the other aspects of who you are. If you are a person who is mondo athletic, great. That's awesome. But you have to actualize yourself also. Not only that, but you have to work on every area of who you are. What are some of the areas of who we are? What are some of the areas of who we are that we can work on and grow in? If we don't even know that, we don't know how to be better. And that's what school is going to teach you, how to make money. And that's great. Yeah? It's nice to be able to do that. But how do you live a meaningful life? So what are some of the parts of who we are? Relationships. Working out. Being healthy. Spiritually. Mentally. Emotionally. Psychologically. Self-esteem. How do we view ourselves? How do we think others view us? What else? Nice. Your mind. You got to work on your mind.
Understanding.
Nice. Great. So there's a whole different panorama, so to speak, of the things that we need to work on and actualize and grow to become and improve in. And so the key to life is improving all aspects of yourself. And like I said, it's important to know that you can't just focus on one thing. But you also can't be too perfectionistic about it and say, I have to be amazing in everything that I do. Because let's face it, there isn't a single person in the world who's amazing in every single thing that he or she does. We are trying to be like God, but we aren't. And we have to be realistic about that. And that's okay. Your potential is the maximum threshold for you in that particular area. It doesn't mean that it's your friend's particular area that he or she excels phenomenally in and you don't. Your potential is wherever God put you. I'm going to use that word. I hope that's okay. It's a Jewish class. Wherever God put you, whatever the matzav situation is that he put you in, that's what you have to do. Because it can't be that somebody who looks like me is going to be a professional ball player. Not happening. Can I go to the gym? Sure. Can I work out? Sure. But at the same time, is that really where I'm supposed to be? What's my purpose in life? That's what we want to talk about. Where's your hidden light? We talked very deeply about all these high concepts and said that there was light for the Jews. It doesn't really look like it. It's hard to understand that and unpack it. And you know what? If we look externally all around, we won't see it. But if we look deep inside of ourselves, we will. So think about it. Who are you? What are you striving to do? What do you want out of life? And what does life want out of you? And so when we open this up a bit, we can understand the meaning of life. The thing that every single person in philosophy classes I took them to is going to be wondering with, you know, Descartes, Hume, Kant, all the deep people are going to be asking you, right? What's the meaning of life? Well, Judaism has it in three words. Actualizing your potential. That's it. It's not happiness. That's great. Can happiness be used to help me actualize my potential? It's not being impressive or accomplished or whatever. It's what did God give me? And did I do enough in this world to make it a little bit better than when I left it? Did I actualize myself? How do you do that? Well, Torah also has something on that. There's three main ways that you can actualize your potential. I'm sure there are other people that say differently. This one happens to come from Duties of the Heart. In Duties of the Heart, what it mostly focuses on is how to become a better you. And it breaks it down into three spheres, okay? The three spheres are your strengths and your talents, what you're really, really good at. Two, your passions. What are you passionate about? What do you love doing? And three, what the world needs. Three things. What are you good at? What are you passionate about? And what does the world need? At the intersection point of that is exactly where your God-given meaning and purpose lies. But if we don't know what our strengths are, if we don't know what we're passionate about, and if we don't know what the world needs, we might get a good job, we might get a good vacation, we might even have a happy life, but at the end of it, and when we're 10 foot under, are we going to have what to say about it? Maybe yes, maybe no. So tonight, I want you to have something to say about it. I want you to be able to understand yourselves better. This is the practical. We did the personal, my lungs. We did the big, deep stuff, right? Now this is the practical. I don't know how many speakers are going to tell you this. Take out your phones. Everybody, take out their phones. If you have it, that's totally fine. Take out your phones. If you don't, just think. And please do this exercise for the you in a week, or the you in 2 weeks, or the you in a year. Or hopefully the year that, or for the you of when you're ultimately married with post-Rutgers. I want you to write the date. Make a note. Grab a note. Grab a note. Write the date and write my potential. My potential. Underneath that, write strengths, space a few times, enter a few times, passions a few times.
Sure.
And if you write it down, even better. Awesome. So you could even do it better. You could do the, well, we'll get there. But just, it's going to be strengths, then passions, and then what the world needs. and have the date so that way you can go back to it. If you don't want to do it, nobody's forcing you to do anything. If you believe, if you're into it, great, and I love seeing all the phones. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for your time and your patience. Now, what I want you to do with this is sit for 3 minutes, and I'm going to be quiet, and your heads are going to start being louder. I want you to sit for this with 3 minutes of time and figure out what you think your strengths are, what you think you're passionate about, and what you think the world needs. And then, hopefully, we'll take some brave volunteers to talk about it. And the rest of the evening is going to be specifically focused on you. So let's remember, we're looking at strengths. We're looking at passions. We're looking at what the world needs. If you could be as specific as possible, that'll benefit you. If you're just general, the world needs peace, we're going to have a little bit of a difficulty here. And remember, you're trying to figure out how you fit into this. What are your strengths? What are you good at? What are you passionate about? And what does the world need? All right. Take a few minutes. We'll be back. For anybody who walked in the room who might have missed, what we're doing right now is on our phones, we're writing down our strengths, as many as we can, 3 to 5 maybe, what we're passionate about, and what the world needs. What we think the world needs. And the more honest we are about it, the more it will impact you. We're going to take one more minute, and I'm going to ask for some volunteers who would unpack this. One more seconds. Okay, awesome. Time. Who wants to share? And again, it might be all right if you didn't have enough to write for what the world needs or for what you're passionate about or what your strengths are. If you had something, we have what to work with. So this is for you. I'm here tonight for you. Hands raised. Who wants to share? Be brave. It's okay. Yeah. What do you want to share?
My passion is traveling the world.
Nice. I love it. So you need to find a job or something in your life where you can travel the world. Or figure out how to like do passive income stuff. So then you can go travel the world. Build that blog, do real estate, and then travel the world. You have to do that. Yeah? You don't have to find a spouse that's going to want to travel the world, right? But if you find that that's your passion and you really love it, figure out what you're strong at. And then you'll be able to tie that in to how you can affect the world. You know, if you love traveling the world, for example, let's do me, right? I can't ask without volunteering, right? We mentioned, I promised you I would tie it back to the lungs. At the time when I had my lungs collapse, I didn't see much light. But right now I see a lot of light in this room. In every single person here, and I don't mean that as some light, I mean it. I'm not seeing you as you're here now. I'm seeing you 30 years from now. I'm going to say that again. I'm not seeing you here as you are now. I'm seeing you as you are 30 years from now. What you're doing then, who you are, how you're impacting people. When my lungs collapsed, I couldn't talk, and here I am now talking to you, doing exactly what for me is actualizing my potential. One of my strengths, I've been told, is that I'm a good public speaker. One of my passions, without question, is speaking. And the world needs a lot more understanding of their strengths, talents, and who they are, and how to become their best self from a Torah perspective. That's how I do it. And I couldn't do it then. But hidden within me was that. That light was present even in the tunnel when I didn't see it. And it's hidden within you now. You just got to think about it. And you might not have a lot written down. You might not have figured it all out. But if you like this exercise, and I hope at least some of you do, go back to this document, look over it, and from time to time update it, and you'll be able to see how it's working with you. And again, it's not just these three things being separate. There's a Venn diagram. You know those three circles that intersect? There's a Venn diagram of it. And it's your strengths, what you are good at, your passions, what you love doing, traveling the world, and what you see the world needing. When you've found something in life that you're good at, that you're passionate about, and the world needs, you go towards that. And you've figured out your hidden light. Who else wants to share? Yeah. Nice. For strengths? For
passions, but passion. I guess, well, they're very interconnected.
So we're passionate about nature, the arts. What was the other one?
Positive mental health, kind of like emotional support and
well-being. Nice. Very cool. What do we have for strengths? Do we get it? It's all right if we can have for all three. It's not easy, right?
Oh, me?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wrote honesty, emotional, and art and intelligence.
Beautiful. So when you can see how those things that you wrote down intersect, you'll be a lot closer to figuring out what your potential is, where your hidden light is, and how to actualize it. And again, what the world needs is not so easy to figure out. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder. But if you can figure out your own niche, then you're starting to feel what God is sending your way as a signal. He's sending you an impulse, a little like, boop, that's what you're supposed to be doing. What are you good at? What does the world need? What are you passionate about? All in one bundle, that's your hidden light, which we said is all the way tied back to what the Jews had during Purim, right? We said the Jews had light. What did they have? An expansive vision from the Torah. But not only that, they saw deeply who they were. Who else? Nice.
I guess my strengths to do that is like I'm good at like math, so I'm going to computer science, so I can try to like develop apps to help in the mental health field.
Cool.
And like I'm understanding and I like to listen and I'm very persistent. Let's say that. And then the third one I didn't remember
what the world needs. It's hard, right?
what the Holy Spirit. I was trying to figure it out, and I didn't hear it repeated, and I was trying to remember it.
It's all good. That's beautiful. What you said is awesome. Persistence is one of those things that you can use literally in anything that you do, and that's going to help you achieve more than others, without a doubt.
I think what the world needs is empathy, and I think the ability to be more objective.
Nice.
I think sometimes people have trouble finding the balance between having empathy and getting too emotional. Like, if you have your own emotions, it can get in the way of seeing bigger picture. But that doesn't mean that you can't have emotions. It's hard. You have to have a balance of both.
Very good. That's like we said with the gadol, right? It can't just be a big, humongous head. You have to be developed all the way around, right?
Yeah, like I was writing his path was ethos and logos.
Very true. Very similar. Very similar. The difference between those three and this Torah perspective, though, is that it intersects. They all line up, and that thing that you like double-click on, so to speak, that you hone in on, that is the intersection of all those, as many things as you could load into there, that's going to give you well-being. That's going to make you a happier person. That's going to help you feel actualized. And why do you think you feel that way? Again, I'm using the G word. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to be actualized. Like we said, in the Jewish perspective, part of, if not the meaning of our life, is actualizing our potential. And in order to know that, we needed to define potential. And in order to know that, we need to know what our strengths are. There's an analogy. There's a really beautiful analogy that many people use. But you can think of a hot air balloon, for example. A hot air balloon on the ground. And it has, you know, a lot of ropes, and you have the fire underneath it. Let me ask you a question. Let's say we all got in that hot air balloon, and we all cut those ropes. Would we go anywhere? We wouldn't go anywhere until you make a light. Somebody lights a fire underneath that, and it goes and soars up to the sky. When you focus only on the negatives in your life, when you only see the darkness in the tunnel, when you only see the darkness, Haman's trying to kill us, there is a war in Eretz Israel, there are horrible things happening. When you only see the dark, you don't focus on the light, you're already done. The key is to focus on your strengths. The ropes represent all the things in life that you're not good at. I'm not focused. I'm not passionate about anything. I don't like being in front. I don't like being in this audience with this speaker. Whatever it might be. Yeah, you don't have to cut those ropes because you're not going to go anywhere. But find out what's going to light your fire. What is it? And it's going to fall into three categories. It's going to be your strengths, your passions, and what the world needs. And when you bind that together, that's the fire that helps you soar. Who else wants to volunteer? Who else? Yeah.
My passions are competition, learning, connection, and life.
So we're passionate about life, we're passionate about learning. Can we say connections also?
Connections and competition.
I get competition, me too. Tell me more about connection.
Actually, not like a lot of things are like slash. So with connection, like connection slash love, relationships, family, and friendship.
Got it. So people person, people oriented, deeply or kind of just like marketingly, you know,
like
both. Oh, deep. Okay, good, very good. So you now know a little bit more about yourself when you get to reflect on that in terms of what job should I have. You can be a people person if you're passionate about that. Now let's just talk about one other thing that's very, very important. You might be a person generally might be really, really passionate about something but really bad at it. I love singing in the shower, at my Shabbos table, with my kids, but I am not good at it. I'm not yet, but I can still love to do it, but just not in a professional setting. So having that self-awareness is crucial to know. I love playing music, but I'm not that great at it, so I'm never going to actually go be in that rock band that I wanted to when I was your age, going to shows. It's important to know that. And it could also be the other way around. It could be that I'm really, 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 really good at something, but I hate it. I might hate it. You don't have to do that. And don't let anybody tell you that you do, whether it's your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, a rabbi, me, anybody. You do what you want to do that you're good at, that the world needs, that you're passionate about. Because that's what, again, the G word is telling you to do. Who else? Yeah. Autism spectrum we're talking about?
Yeah. And then I think the world needs more older than
Ooh, tell me more about that. People open up.
By the way, what did you say? I said vulnerability. Oh my God, 100%. I start just thinking about it. Less about what we're doing. No, it's like, I think it's definitely hard to find it in yourself. And even when you do feel that, you know, you have found it and overcome things that have taken it away, it's then really hard to give it to other people. And
so
I feel
true.
Like if we come to terms and heal from what has taken it away, we could spread it into the world and not project our insecurities on others.
You're awesome. It's amazing. Did you hear what she said? That's huge. When we're more vulnerable and open with each other, we're better. We're able to be in a deeper place. Nice. Okay, so with the remaining time that we have, I just want to make it, we call it a sequel, a conclusion, a summary. We had a lot of things flying around tonight, and I just want to really briefly go through it, right? So we first said this Saturday night and Sunday is what holiday? Purim, right? We mentioned what we're going to be doing, mostly. One of the most important mitzvahs was reading the Megillah. We said, what was the verse that's going to matter? In the 8th chapter, it's the one that we're even going to say all together. We're going to say, Layahudim Haita Ora, right? For the Jews, there was light. We then said, what was this light? Who cares? How is it relevant to me? We said, no, this light is so impactful, so important that we took it all the way back to when we said, let there be light. So wait a second. That's not like day 4. That's not like the sun, moon, stars light. That's like spiritual light inside of me for who I am. Deeper, better, broader. Whoa. And then we took that and said, wait a second. That special light was hidden away as the Or HaGanus. We didn't use the word, but it's called the Or HaGanus. Hidden away. And my Rebbe said, it's hidden inside of you. It just happens to be called your potential. We then had a nice, beautiful discussion about what that entails. We said three big spheres, right? What are you strong in? What are your strengths? What are you passionate about? What's the world need? Find that point in the middle, and you are golden. That's where your hidden light is. We said that my ability to do that was when my lungs collapsed, and now being able to be here in front of you. Thank you for listening.